The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Being arrested. Man being kneed there. It's terrible.
Hey, you don't have to hit him like that.
What's the difference?
Leave, I tell you. Take your camera and get out of here.
We're seeing another arrest there.
Yeah, right? I was just going to interject.
This is disgusting!
Come on through. What is happening here? Wow, what is this lady doing? Trampling horses. Trampling. Stop it.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
They
just trampled this lady.
Well, we now know that some kinds of excessive force or police brutality are just fine. Nobody's sounding the alarm in the media. Nobody seems to be upset. If this happens to, if anything like what you just saw happens to a BLM protest or an Antifa protest, it's not just going to be outrage in Canada. We're talking about international outrage. A horse trampling over two Canadians. The woman trampled over. She's with the walker and she's got a separated shoulder. She's an Indigenous woman of all things. And yet, no outcry. It's not a big deal. Excessive force is fine coming from the police as long as it's aimed at the right group. These people are protesting for freedom. They're anti-vaxxers. So send in the troops. Send in the army. Send in these police forces from all over Canada. It may not have been an actual army, but that's what it was, basically. Because they came in from other regions, other provinces in some cases. And there they are to crack down, to trample over the protesters. This peaceful protest that went on for weeks, yes, it annoyed a lot of people, yes. But it was peaceful at its core. And in fact, this is what astounds me, it was peaceful on Friday and Saturday. Nothing they did warranted this kind of crackdown. These lines of police officers just put inching their way forward, and then as soon as someone stumbles or as someone holds their ground, they're pulled back behind the line. You saw, and they take the batons or they take the butt of the gun and they just start beating people. That's right. Holding people under gunpoint inside the cab of their truck or at their camper, whatever it was. These are some pretty unbelievable scenes. Played out Friday, Saturday. Now the Freedom Convoy is pretty much gone. You can see why. And here comes Justin Trudeau this morning. And his cabinet, they're basically there patting themselves on the back. And there's no international outcry. There's no Western leader that stood up this weekend that I know of and said, enough. Enough with this. This is not Canada. This is some kind of communist police state. We have a lot to get to, as you might imagine, on today's show. You're listening to Stephen Fleury. This is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining our growing audience. You can get to the live audio stream of this show on CRN Digital Talk Radio, Channel 3. That comes to you live every day, the audio stream, the live video stream. That is offered exclusively at our website, thetrumpet.com. Just go to the homepage each day at the time of the show, and you'll get a nice large banner at the top that takes you direct to the live stream page, which is thetrumpet.com/live. And you can also get to the past 3 weeks or so of these programs posted after the fact if you'd like to catch up on viewing them at your leisure. So this woman at the beginning of the montage, she's a Rebel News reporter. Police took a baton to her leg, hit her 3 times, and then another one from law enforcement shot a tear gas canister into her leg. And of course, there she is. She was crying and screaming. A tear gas canister. They were firing off pepper spray. As you saw some of the beatings. And then in comes the cavalry, literally trampling over people, over protesters. One of them there filming it says, "What's going on here? What's happening? You don't need to do this." They did it. They got away with it. And now you hear Trudeau and all of his cabinet members patting themselves on the back, talking about how, hey, we need to extend these powers. It's working pretty good for us. Pepper spray, beating people with police batons. There was one point where the Ottawa Police Department was flooded with phone calls of people saying enough with the excessive force. And the police department actually tweeted out a statement saying, look, stop calling us. You're flooding our phone lines. I mean, that's how you really endear yourself to the people of Ottawa and the surrounding region. Stop flooding our lines. Look, the crackdown's working. And then to hear some of them talk. Listen first to this. We'll come to Justin Trudeau and what he said earlier today here in just a moment. But listen to this Ottawa interim police chief. You can see why they put him in last week and got rid of the other guy. This is clip one.
If the protesters at this point, retreat and go home, are they going to be getting sort of repercussions down the road? Or are you going to be sort of actively pursuing the people that you've been sort of documenting and filming who are still out there protesting? What are your plans after this, after the protest is over?
Thank you. It's a great question. And the simple answer is yes. If you are involved in this protest, we will actively look to identify you and follow up with financial sanctions and criminal charges. Absolutely. This investigation will go on for months to come. It has many, many different streams. It will be a complicated and time-consuming investigation that will go on for a period of time.
It's going to go on for months. This is the communist left's January 6th moment. It's going to go on for months. They've already arrested 191 people. 107 have been charged with crimes, probably mischief. 107. And 79 vehicles have been towed away. Tonight, Parliament votes on whether or not... They haven't even voted yet on whether or not Justin Trudeau can even claim this or invoke this power, this Emergencies Act. And look at, he's already using it. I mean, they invoked it just a week ago. Listen to Justin Trudeau from earlier today, just this morning, clip 15.
We didn't want to use the Emergencies Act. It's never something to turn to without serious consideration. But after weeks of dangerous and unlawful activities, after weeks of people being harassed in their neighborhoods and small businesses forced to close, after billions of dollars were stalled in trade, putting people's jobs and livelihoods at risk, after the National War Memorial was desecrated, after evidence of increased ideologically motivated violent extremism activity across the country, after a flood of misinformation and disinformation washed over Canada, including from foreign sources, after these illegal blockades and occupations received disturbing amounts of foreign funding to destabilize Canada's democracy, it became clear that local and provincial authorities needed more tools to restore order and keep people safe.
Who's exactly destabilizing Canada's democracy? It's this man right here. Justin Castro. It's him. He's the one that suspended civil liberties just last week. And now they're talking about, hey, we've got to extend this. Some of his people said this morning in this news conference that, look, we've stopped the Freedom Convoy, but we've also got to stop any possible future protest as well. So the reporters are naturally asking, well, then how do you put a time limit on this then? You say you don't want it to go on any longer than it has to. But at the same time, you say you've got to prevent any future Freedom Convoy or any future protest that you don't like. And of course, that's why they've cracked down so hard on this one. They don't like it. They don't like the protesters. They don't like people protesting for freedom. Freedom's a bad word now, as I covered with you last week. Freedom's a code word for authoritarianism. They want to take over the government. They're just lying. There's one minister that basically said, yeah, the coots, the ammunition, the guns and all that at the coots border, that's proof. They're trying to take over the government. And that story's already been thoroughly debunked. But they just keep lying. Who's spreading misinformation? Who's responsible for smearing this Freedom Convoy as violent, a violent insurrection? Well, it's the same people, at least the same thinking, that smeared the Trump protesters from January 6. I mean, in that case, you actually had a few Trump supporters who were unruly, who did walk in and turn tables over and whatever else. But for the most part, as you've seen from footage, they stayed within the velvet ropes. When have you seen an insurrection where the insurrectionists stay between the velvet ropes? And you know about all of those that were there to incite the violence. Ray Epps. Even law enforcement. And you know about the policeman that shot Ashley Babbitt in the neck. Killed a woman. Well, here the cavalry comes in and nearly kills this older indigenous woman on a walker. And CBC could care less. You couldn't find anything in the legacy media on the state of this woman's health condition. It was just social media. A lot of people on social media thought she died at the hospital. So later we find out, well, that's not the case. But why did it take so long? I mean, a horse trampling over an old woman? And you've got to scratch this far beneath the surface just to try to find out what happened? What about this rebel news journalist? Where's Jim Acosta talking about people attacking journalists? Here's an actual attack. But she's with Rebel News. You see, they're not going to fire a tear gas canister at someone who works for CBC or the Toronto Sun or some of these other major mainstream outlets. But if it's Rebel News, well, I mean, they've got some footage that shows that these protesters are bouncing around in bouncy castles or getting into snowball fights or having a dance-off in the middle of a street. So Rebel News, they're the enemy. Fire a tear gas canister at this woman. Why not? Hit her with your baton 3 times. Why not? If you can get away with it, and they did. And then they come out this morning and they congratulate themselves. It is unbelievable what we're witnessing here. Listen again to Justin Trudeau from this morning, clip 16.
We don't always agree, and that's okay. In fact, it's not only healthy to have debates in a democracy, it's necessary. Our government will always defend freedom of expression and freedom of peaceful assembly. These values are at the core of our Charter of Rights and Freedoms. They're at the core of who we are as Canadians. In a democracy, you can protest. You can share your opinion at the top of your lungs. You can disagree with elected officials. You can certainly disagree with me. But you can't harass your fellow citizens who disagree with you. You can't hold a city hostage. You can't block a critical trade corridor and deprive people of their jobs. You can't attack journalists for reporting, which is essential to our democracy. What you can do is vote. What you can do is run for office. That's how change happens in a democracy.
Isn't that rich? You can't attack journalists. let's talk about journalists. Let's talk about this woman. What's her name? Alexa Lavoie, shot in the leg after being beaten in the leg. You can't attack journalists? Who's attacking the journalists here? When did the Freedom Convoy go after journalists, except in just shouting them down, like in the case of MSNBC over the weekend? These people surrounding this man, giving the live feed, saying, "You're a liar. You're saying we're dangerous and violent. You lie. You're the virus." And they're right. They're absolutely right. And then the reporter back at the home office saying, "Yeah, you better find a different spot to report because you're in danger." No, I think it's the Rebel News gal who's in danger. She had to go to the hospital. But the protesters, they see how the CBC and the others in the legacy media, they see how that they've been smeared with misinformation, with disinformation. And shamefully, even from law enforcement, this interim police chief, listen again to what he said over the weekend, clip two.
One of the things that you've seen that we've been engaged in is we're monitoring. We've learned from previous protests and demonstrations. We're monitoring the coverage. One of the tactics that the protesters and demonstrators are using is misinformation, information that is inaccurate, information that misleads the public.
It's amazing how the elites, they know exactly what is misinformation and what's true. So we're just supposed to take their word for it. Look at what they're saying about these protesters, though. Look at the lies they tell about these protesters. And then people, you get on social media and you see the actual footage. I'm pretty amazed at the level of restraint, really. Not even with the protesters on Friday and Saturday. Look, I'm not encouraging we're not here to take one side or the other. We're here to tell you, though, that it's building to civil war, because that's prophesied. But whether it's on Friday and Saturday or whether it's January 6th, I mean, if they're firing tear gas canisters at the crowd, it surprises me that the crowd doesn't run after the police like BLM did. Do you think a police officer is going to get away with trampling a BLM protester with a horse? A 2,000-pound horse? No, the police officers in 2020, they were running from the mob. Because the mob was destroying city after city after city. And here's Justin Trudeau saying, "Look, you can disagree with me. You can even protest, but you can't harass." Oh, you can't harass? Is that the standard? Well, what do you call the summer of 2020? These people, moved by demons, that's the truth. They want to squash the opposition. They want no dissent. They know they're in the minority. They know it. I mean, what a defining moment, this picture that you see right here on the screen. And yet they'll do everything they can, just like they did with Ashley Babbitt. Just cover it up. We don't need to tell the public the identity of the officer that did this. Let's conceal that. The public doesn't need that because, after all, I mean, they could take it the wrong way. It could rile them up again. So we've got to squash that information. Let's just keep that covered up. No charges against this black officer that shot Ashley Babbitt. Isn't that astounding? She's not carrying a weapon. She's unarmed. She's a woman. She's a tiny woman. And she's trespassing. And the police can gun her down? But then if it's a murderer, or if it's someone that's beating his wife, or if it's someone that pulls a knife on a police officer, the police is supposed to know, well, hey, this is the other side. This is the radical left. The radical left sticks up for these thugs. So we can't do anything. We've got to be real careful. We've got to kind of wrestle them to the ground. We've got to be careful with the taser even. We certainly can't pull a gun. We can't do any of that. Well, they could do that on Friday and Saturday. They did it on January 6th, law enforcement. You see what's happening here? Truth. You want to talk about the spread of misinformation? Here comes Justin Trudeau. He invokes the Emergencies Act. The Parliament doesn't even have a chance yet to vote on it. That's tonight. And already they're bragging. They're saying we need to extend these powers because it just works so good. It works so well at squashing the opposition. We like that. Listen to this deputy PM, Chrystia Freeland. This was over the weekend as well, clip three.
In terms of the financial instruments which our government is using right now to act against these illegal blockades and illegal occupation, we reviewed very, very carefully the tools at the disposal of the federal government. Now, some of those tools, we will be putting forward measures to put those tools permanently in place.
Oh, you see where this is going? Some of these tools, they're actually, it does give us quite a lot of power. And we don't need it just for a week or two. We need it permanent. We need to make some of this permanent because, after all, there was the Freedom Convoy that was there for 2-3 weeks. And who's to say there might not be another one? So we need to be able to freeze bank accounts. I think they've already frozen something like 70 or 80 bank accounts amounting to millions of dollars. And one of the reporters asked the group, the Castro group this morning, well, when are you going to unfreeze those funds? And the question was answered, you know, really with kind of a lot of mud in the water. Well, you know, I mean, it depends on who it is and where it's coming from and, you know, what kind of a threat it could be. You think they're anxious to dial this back? It'll be interesting to see what Parliament does tonight, if anything. So much weakness. And even just ordinary Canadians. Those that would criticize the convoy because of honking horns, that can't be bothered with actually looking into the cause, looking into the grievance, looking into the message. Well, it doesn't affect me, so I'll just get behind the dictator. If he can make it quiet in the city, then we'll support the dictator. Some people are getting what they want. Boy, what a slippery slope this is for Canada. And the thing of it is, all of the nations of Israel, the United States, the UK, New Zealand, Australia, this is the direction we're heading in. There's no outcry in Washington, D.C. There's no outcry at the White House over what you saw in the opening montage. They want this. They are encouraging Trudeau to go down this path. You crack down. This is the greatest threat facing our society, they say. This woman, by the way, she's the big Soros girl, the big Obama girl, this Chrystia Freeland, used to work for Reuters. Big wig at the top of Reuters. She's in bed with big media. Now she's in big government, and some would say she's the minister of everything in Canada. Look at, this is from when he invoked the Emergencies Act last week, and you can see her behind Prime Minister Trudeau. And she's either got some kind of a tic going on or else she's mouthing the speech as if she wrote it herself. It's very strange. This is clip four.
After discussing with cabinet and caucus, after consultation with premiers from all provinces and territories, after speaking with opposition leaders, the federal government has invoked the Emergencies Act to supplement provincial and territorial capacity to address the blockades and occupations.
And these people are just drunk on power. That's what's happening. Who knows who's responsible for all of these speeches? Who's writing what? But this is an administration. This is an administration that is persecuting ordinary Canadians. Canadians, the Canadian citizenry, they're the enemy here. They are the enemy. This is a man in Trudeau, that is, that was kneeling with Black Lives Matter. And now he's really concerned about protests because they might disturb people. The noise level might be too high. Harassment. Well, it's hurting people's businesses, says the man who's hurt people's businesses for 2 years. The people on the ground, they saw what happened on Friday and Saturday. They know that the protesters were peaceful all the way through to the end, even when they were getting beaten with batons. As I said, listen to them, those that surround this journalist on the scene. He's representing MSNBC, so they know. They know how that it's going to be framed. And listen to their reaction. Listen to how angry these people are at how they're being smeared. This is clip six.
The danger is that there is a group of people that no longer believe in the we. They no longer believe in the common good. So they, what they've done is they're putting...
Sorry about that. Wrong clip. We'll play that in a second. Skip ahead to the one I was talking about, the reporters on the scene, or the reporter on the scene surrounded by disgruntled protesters. This is clip eight.
Because it seems like things are really going on behind you, even still.
Oh, you guys are just spreading propaganda. That's yeah. What you guys do. You say everyone here is violent. No, it's the cops. Tell the truth about Justin Trudeau. Who's his daddy, huh?
Yeah, well, this is a feature of these demonstrations, Yasmin. We haven't seen in Canada a whole lot. I know the MAGA movement in the United States, you've seen a lot of this kind of thing, but protesters, now they see their occupation of the city coming to an end after 3 weeks, increasingly turning their anger against journalists. We've seen a lot of our colleagues up here covering these protests, being harassed, screamed at, as you can hear. This is the one thing, Yasmin, that unites these groups that have been protesting here in Ottawa for the last 3 weeks, is the way they feel about the media.
The harassment—that's harassment and screaming—that the left, the radical left, simply will not tolerate. So send in the troops, send in the cavalry, bring on the batons, start spraying pepper spray, tear gas. Do whatever's necessary. Break into windows. Go in with the machine guns. Be ready to fire. They're dangerous. Now we can go back to that clip six, and you'll see here, this is also MSNBC. As it happens, it's the same lady that's heading up the segment that is basically referring to others who are saying, yeah, these people are, I mean, they can't be programmed. They are brainwashed. And so you can't really work with them. And listen to how she sums it up at the end. This is clip six.
The danger is that there is a group of people that no longer believe in the we. They no longer believe in the common good. So they, what they've done is they're putting I over we. It's why people don't get vaccinated. It's why they say don't stand up for Ukraine. It's why we're doing all of these things and fighting over so many things. And Fox News is the leader of the me movement.
Is there a way to get those people back? To bring them back from the dark side, right? Or are they past the point of no return?
They are, in her mind, and in the mind of those two with her, they are past the point of no return. There's no way to get them back. They're on the dark side. That's why we need emergency powers so that we can squash this rebellion. Remember Trudeau at the very beginning of this crisis, he said that these protesters were guilty for the way they thought their ideas were wrong. And so that's why he wouldn't talk to them. That's why he won't address their concerns. Even as all these nations around the world, like I said Friday, are lifting these restrictions, they're lifting these mandates. Even Austria. Austria had some of the strictest mandates and restrictions in place of any nation in the world. They're lifting them. And this is all that the Freedom Convoy wants. And yet, they're not going to get anything but the batons and the tear gas for protesting peacefully on the streets of Ottawa. I gave you this quote. Well, I can skip ahead. This is from my father's article, April 2021. I gave you this last week as well, but it's worth repeating. It says, the radicals' own education, the news media, entertainment, technology, spy agencies, and now, much of the federal government, they control everything. Who can deny this now? They control everything. We had this story all last week. It was always at the end of my notes, still is. But what a revealing story. Enes Kanter, He changed his name to Freedom, played for the Boston Celtics, used to play for our team here in Oklahoma City, the Thunder. He's been around for 10 years or so in the league, so he's a veteran, but he's only 29, and he's been quite outspoken about governments like in Turkey and, of course, China that have abused their people. This comes from Mark Thiessen, the columnist. He says, Enes Kanter Freedom sensed the end was coming. I've got 25 games left in my contract, and it's up after the season, the 10-year National Basketball Association veteran told me last week. But recently, he said, former teammates and coaches began telling him, we love you, so we have to tell you the truth. This is your farewell tour. The players were telling him, look, you, for criticizing China, you're gone. You're gone. Enjoy it. Smile. Have fun with it. I hope you win a championship because I don't think you're going to get another contract after this year because the things that you talk about cost the NBA millions of dollars. You see, the NBA makes millions in China. So LeBron James isn't going to criticize China. He's going to praise China. He's going to praise the CCP. Doesn't matter who they abuse. Doesn't matter who they throw into prison camps. It doesn't matter how strong the lockdown measures are. You just get behind the CCP in China. There's too many dollars at play here, after all. It says here, Kanter didn't get the chance to make that final championship run. The day after we spoke, the Boston Celtics traded Freedom to the Houston Rockets, who promptly cut him from their roster. Now you don't play basketball, one Chinese government troll gloated on Twitter. So the Chinese, the CCP, they gloat. They're bragging, just like the Trudeau government this morning. They get out and brag and say, hey, you got banned. Ha, very funny, ha ha. You're out of the league. You're out of the NBA. The National Basketball Association in the United States of America. You can't criticize the communists. We certainly see that in this story. Says here, the reason he no longer plays basketball has nothing to do with his performance on the court. In his last game as a Celtic, Freedom had 7 points and 12 rebounds in 12 minutes of play. He was averaging a rebound a minute. He only played 12 minutes, and he got 7 points and 12 rebounds. That's a pretty good night of work. Says here, the final straw might have been the television ad Freedom produced with Representative Michael Waltz, a Republican, calling out the corporate sponsors of the Beijing Olympics, which they correctly call the Genocide Games, including NBA sponsor Nike. Stand for freedom, defund the dictators, Kanter declared. NBC refused to air the ad unless they removed the corporate logos. Well, that's revealing too. So they're willing to pay money, produce an ad saying defund the dictators. And NBC won't run with it. Says here, I wanted to air this ad on TV to raise awareness of China's gross human rights abuses and the hypocrisy of the U.S. companies that are silent and enabling the CCP's brutal behavior. Freedom says he spoke out against Turkey's human rights abuses for a decade. And no one at the NBA complained, but I talk about China one day. My phone was ringing once every hour. The reason? There are more people watching NBA, or there were more people watching the NBA last year in China than the American population, over 400 million. Every year, the revenue the NBA gets from China is $5 billion. And so they're not going to tolerate having anyone who would take a different opinion, who would express any kind of dissent. You just play along. You go along and compliment and praise the communists. What about if there's footage of excessive force, of police brutality? Doesn't matter. We'll cover that up. They're doing everything that they need to do up there in Ottawa, the Trudeau government. The interim police chief, he says, yeah, we've done everything by the book. I couldn't be more proud of their behavior, these police officers. My father says the radicals own education, the news media, entertainment, technology, spy agencies, and now much of the federal government. They control everything. They really do. They really do. Look at Canada. They control the government. They've got the majority in parliament. They control the police force. If the chief is not going to go along as wholeheartedly as he needs to, well, get rid of him. Get someone else in there who will. And this new one certainly will. You heard him. Yeah, these investigations are going to go on for months. I mean, we're going to find out who those people were that were dancing in the streets. We're going to find out who that trucker was that was honking his horn. We're going to find out who that grandma was who sent $50 through GoFundMe to the Freedom Convoy. Does that sound familiar? That's Canada's January 6th. And what did the DOJ do right at the end of last year after a full year of this abuse? A full year of this authoritarianism? Well, they released a statement bragging. Look at how many people we've arrested. Look at how many people are rotting in jail. Look at how many people we've tracked down. Look at how many houses we've barged into in the middle of the night. They're proud of it. They love the crackdowns. They love excessive force when it goes for their political opponents. Then they love it. If we ever hear another lecture from a journalist or a politician, a radical leftist politician, about the danger of excessive force, how is anyone going to take them seriously? Seriously. After all we heard all year long in 2020, after all the times they've actually defended murder, actual murder on the streets, and certainly looting and burning and destroying and beating and pummeling and hitting. They've defended all that, saying that, well, look, we need justice here. AOC, remember, she was talking about how that we need violence just to make a statement. But now you can't even have a little bit of harassment, I guess. You can't even have a horn honking. It's too much. Now they're very concerned about the businesses in Ottawa, which, by the way, are having a hard time operating even as it is now because of the 100 checkpoints. People can't get in and out of these red zones. So here's Trudeau saying that, and you know what the police are also doing in Ottawa? They're harassing those stores. They're harassing those restaurants, those establishments that were helping the truckers. There's a lot of people who sympathize with these protesters. But now, you see, they're kind of like the people who are contributing through GoFundMe and the like. They're supporting an insurrection, a violent insurrection at that, because after all, there's swastikas and Confederate flags. They will lie about anything to further their agenda. I mean, these people, one thing you've got to say about the radical left, they are convicted. And like my father has said before, they are willing to do anything to maintain their grip, their stranglehold on power. They certainly are. Saw quite a bit of that over the weekend. Whatever it takes to suppress, whatever it takes to squash, whatever it takes to spread misinformation. It says here, they have the power and the control. How can you win against that? How can you win if they rig the election itself? We got away with that in 2020. We've got an article on the Trumpet website right now talking about the unlawful election practices going on in Canada last time Trudeau got in. This is the way they operate. We better wake up to what's happening in this world. Speaking of cheating and stealing and lying and spying, they've announced in Canada, look, we want to increase our surveillance powers for sure. We're going to need to track movements of money for sure. We've got to prevent another Freedom Convoy from descending upon Ottawa. You've heard all about the Hillary Clinton, the revelation from Durham a couple weeks ago about Hillary Clinton spying on Donald Trump, even after he was president, even while he was in the White House. Mark Levin on his show last night, he was talking with John Ratcliffe and Pete Hegseth. talking about 5 years ago when Levin put all of these mainstream media press releases together, all of these stories from the Washington Post, from McClatchy, from the New York Times, and concluded they're spying. Donald Trump picked up on that. So did Breitbart. Fox, that Sunday morning show 5 years ago in early March. And the media reaction, you are crazy. No spying whatsoever was going on. Well, we now know it did. Four FISA applications. Now we know, at least according to Durham, that Hillary's people were doing it as well. Listen to this from John Solomon. He was on a Fox show last week talking about spying. This is clip 9.
Well, the President of the United States, Donald Trump, declassified this document just before he left office. I obtained it. It's the tasking orders. It's the FBI sitting with an informant telling him, this is how we want you to spy on the Trump campaign. Here's a scenario. Here's our goal. If you don't get something from Carter Page, move on to Mike Flynn. If you don't get something from Mike Flynn, move on to George Papadopoulos. Every reporter that sits here and looks into the camera and says, there was no spying, just read this document. Every person I've sent it to is this a spy document? And they say, absolutely. It's the roadmap for surveillance. So
aren't they the tasking orders for FBI informant Stephon Halper to infiltrate the Trump campaign? Is that your interpretation of this?
It's actually what they say. They say it flat out, what his job is to do. Get inside the Trump campaign and find out if they're colluding with Russia. Start with Carter Page, move on to Mike Flynn if you can get to him, or Paul Manafort, and end up with George Papadopoulos. By the way, he then goes on to make recordings under the FBI supervision of people like Carter Page and George Papadopoulos, and they show that they're innocent. And the investigation continues on anyways. It's really remarkable. And now the Clinton campaign are doing the same thing.
They were all doing it. Clinton campaign, and she couldn't have gotten away with it without Barack Obama's people, as we noted last week. Without Brennan, without Clapper, without Comey, without Obama himself, who knew all about it going back to August of 2016. They spy. They love surveillance. They love spying on their opponents. Listen to the media, speaking of going back 5 years and people piecing it together, that they were spying. And the media, they were defending the communist left. And they still do. They still do. There's still some, even after the Hillary revelations, that say it wasn't spying. I read that to you last week. The Washington Post remember saying, well, it just depends on what you how you define spying. That's really what it comes down to. Listen to them defend these corrupt actors in government. Clip 10.
It's completely wrong. It did not happen. There was no spying.
It's Pizzagate. The conspiracy gene.
Exactly. It's Pizzagate.
The conspiracy gene is no more accurate than Pizzagate. Mm-hmm.
No one was spying on the president through the microwave.
No one spied on the Trump campaign.
There was no spying.
There was no spying.
No spying.
There was 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 no spying.
Wow. By the way, there was no spying, of course.
There was no spying.
There was no spying
on the Trump campaign.
On the Trump campaign.
It's been a year and a half.
There was no spying on the Trump campaign.
Of this crap.
No spying on the Trump campaign.
Which is a conspiracy theory.
No spying on the Trump campaign.
Facts matter.
And, oh, by the way, no, there was no.
There was no spying
on the Trump campaign.
And yes, there was, coming from a lot of different sources and angles. It's pretty amazing. You see how they're all one and the same. And that's why, at least with the press conference I heard this morning, I missed the start of it. But I didn't hear one reporter ask about excessive force. I didn't hear one reporter ask about police brutality. And as far as so many of them are concerned, even with images on social media, video, capturing the incident, they still just sit there and listen to the interim police chief and nod along. They're all on the same team. No spying. No evidence of spying. No spying whatsoever. No spying from Comey. No spying from the FISA court or through the FISA court. No spying from Obama's people, Hillary's people. Nothing. And here John Solomon holds up the document. Here, from the DOJ, here are your orders. Here's who to spy on. Here's how you do it. Here's what you're looking for. In the case of Hillary's people, they say, look, just it's got to be just an inference. It doesn't even need to be factually based. Just try to find something that could at least look incriminating, and we'll run with it. We'll run with it. A couple years ago, right at the peak of all this violence and damage to monuments all around the United States, it was happening even in Canada. Justin Trudeau was supporting it. You might remember that speech that Donald Trump gave at Mount Rushmore. This was on the July 4th holiday in the summer of 2020, even as you had an entire nation, or at least several cities in the nation, going up in flames. And the war, in this case, the war over history, not just a narrative in the news cycle, but history. And these protesters going around and tearing down statues of George Washington and Thomas Jefferson, spraying on them that they're racist or that they're colonialists. There was a Washington Post headline, by the way. This was the other day. The Ottawa trucker convoy is rooted in Canada's settler colonial history. So the Washington Post knows. Look, these truckers, this is that settler colonial history. I mean, he knows. He knows how all of those truckers think. You know why? Because one of his colleagues over at the New York Times found one swastika. So that's how the whole group thinks. They're all Nazis. Even as these communists are behaving like fascists themselves. Emergency powers, wartime powers, martial law. President Trump was talking about America's history. Celebrating it, praising the founders in that July 4th speech. Might have been on July 3rd, as I recall. In any event, it's from a little over a year and a half ago. Listen here to clip 11.
Our people have a great memory. They will never forget the destruction of statues and monuments to George Washington, Abraham Lincoln, Ulysses S. Grant, abolitionists, and many others. The violent mayhem we have seen in the streets and cities that are run by liberal Democrats in every case is the predictable result of years of extreme indoctrination and bias in education, journalism, and other cultural institutions. Against every law of society and nature, our children are taught in school to hate their own country and to believe that the men and women who built it were not heroes, but that were villains.
This is what they're taught. We've one of our assignments in freshman Bible here at the college, God's College, is to write a term paper on the trouble with, or the problem with, modern education. That's Donald Trump getting into a big part of it in that speech from July of 2020. Here we are on President's Day, and yet look at how young people are taught to view their presidents, their real presidents. If you want to talk about a villain, let's talk about the current occupant of the White House, the fake president. But look at the founders. Look at the courage. Look at what they sacrificed so that we could have the freedoms that we used to celebrate. George Washington, we had a speech yesterday at our speech banquet about Nathan Hale, who spied for George Washington. They had to track the movement. I mean, Washington's army was about to be obliterated, and that would have been the end of it. And Nathan Hale, a young man, 20, 21 years of age. He didn't even know how to spy. He was a school teacher. But he volunteered. Yeah, I'll go over there. I'll go over to Manhattan and circulate among the British troops and try to find out their movements. And he was a tall fellow, and there was an explosion with gunpowder when he was helping the Continental Army. So he had scars on his face. I mean, he was not inconspicuous. Let's just put it that way. And as was brought out in the speech yesterday, he wasn't even a good spy. But he did his job. He did it faithfully. And he risked his life and he gave up his life for the nation. And said at the end, my only regret is I don't have another life to give, to sacrifice for America, for Americans. My father wrote in the Overcomer book, it says, realize that everything God gives us will be stripped from us if we are not willing to put our life on the line. We've got to be willing to make a sacrifice for God. We've got to be willing to risk everything for God. Courage. My father wrote about that early on in the PCG with Malachi's message. He said that we need spiritual courage. It's our greatest need because, I mean, what good are the other virtues if you don't have courage? If you don't have courage to act. The founders had that. George Washington had it. John Adams, Thomas Jefferson, James Madison. And yet they're vilified today. People like to spread misinformation. People like to spread fake history, just like they like to spread fake news. They lie. They lie about our history. They lie about current events. They lie about what's happening on the street. They lie about something that's been videotaped, and they say it didn't actually happen. They just say it. Truly is Orwellian. Listen again to Donald Trump from 2020. This is clip 12.
The radical view of American history is a web of lies. All perspective is removed. Every virtue is obscured. Every motive is twisted. Every fact is distorted. And every flaw is magnified until the history is purged and the record is disfigured beyond all recognition. This movement is openly attacking the legacies of every person on Mount Rushmore. They defile the memory of Washington, Jefferson, Lincoln, and Roosevelt. Today, we will set history and history's records straight.
Great speech. One of his best, really. One of Donald Trump's best speeches. July of 2020 there at Mount Rushmore. And on this President's Day, listen to what Donald Trump had to say about our nation's first president, George Washington, clip 13.
From head to toe, George Washington represented the strength, grace, and dignity of the American people. From a small volunteer force of citizen farmers, he created the Continental Army out of nothing and rallied them to stand against the most powerful military on earth. Through 8 long years, through the brutal winter at Valley Forge, through setback after setback on the field of battle, he led those patriots to ultimate triumph. When the army had dwindled to a few thousand men at Christmas of 1776, when defeat seemed absolutely certain, he took what remained of his forces on a daring nighttime crossing of the Delaware River. They marched through 9 miles of frigid darkness, many without boots on their feet, leaving a trail of blood in the snow. In the morning, they seized victory at Trenton. After forcing the surrender of the most powerful empire on the planet, at Yorktown, General Washington did not claim power, but simply returned to Mount Vernon as a private citizen.
King George III described Washington as the greatest man in the world after hearing that he would not attempt to become the king of America after the Revolutionary War. He just retired to be a private citizen, to celebrate freedom, to be free. That's what he wanted for all of America. That's all we have time for to get to on today's show. We certainly appreciate you joining us. This is Stephen Fleury. You're listening to The Trumpet Daily, and we will see you tomorrow.